Good morning. It's good to see everybody here. It's good for me to be here. Welcome to our visitors. We're very happy to see Scott and Kathy with us again, and Sherry. Very good to have you. Rob and Lila, we can't really call them our visitors anymore. They're family. This morning is kind of a little bit of a different spin off of some of the other things that we've been talking about recently. We talked about the historicity of Jesus. We talked about how the Jews were basically replaced with Christians. And we talked about how the New Testament begins with the life of Christ, and he's not outside of the New Testament and under the old law, like some would try to put him. And this morning I want to talk kind of about why people do that. Why is it that Jesus is being challenged as a non-historical figure? Why is it that he's been put under the Old Testament? And really, I believe it comes down to he has some very difficult teachings. And because Jesus taught some things that are hard for people to bear, they've tried to supplant him and tried to move him into a realm where you don't have to listen to him, or you don't have to trust him, and you certainly don't have to obey him. And so even it's happened so that even Christians have gotten to the point that they're trying to put him in the Old Testament because, well, the Old Testament was nailed to the cross, and so if everything Jesus said and everything he did and everything he taught was under the Old Testament, then it was nailed to the cross and you don't really have to listen to anything he had to say. So if you'll turn with me to John chapter 6, we'll start there. Here, Jesus crosses the Sea of Galilee and he gets a following going. And then the people from the other side who, if you go to the beginning of John 6, he just fed a multitude of people with basically nothing. And those people followed him across the sea, and then Jesus had some very difficult things to say. And he will pick up in verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the spirit that quickens the flesh. Profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore I said to you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, okay, so this is the picture. Verse 64 just said that many went away, or 66 rather, many went away and didn't follow him anymore. But 67 shows us the severity of this departure. Jesus said to the 12, "Will you also go away?" It was so bad, the departure was so bad, he even turned to the 12 and said, are you going to leave me too? Is the idea here. Everybody left. The multitude dispersed. There's nobody left. And so he turns to the 12 also and he says, "Are you done too? You going to go away too?" But Peter responded in verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And I think the problem that we have, where people try to move Jesus into a different realm, they have the same problem that these followers had. They hear the hard sayings, and they try to turn away from the sayings without realizing what Peter observed here. "You have the words of eternal life. Where else can we get what we get from you? Where else can we go? Who else can I go to? Who else am I supposed to turn to that's going to give me what you can give me?" And so we forget, as we move Jesus into the Old Testament so we don't have to follow him, He's the one that has the words of eternal life. What else are we supposed to do? Where else are we supposed to go? And by contrast, we have people doing just that. Well, let's see if we can find somewhere else to go. Let's see if we can find somewhere else to turn to, someone else to turn to. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul addresses this problem that at Paul's time, he says a time will come when this will happen, but we can see this in great part today. Verses 1 through 4 here in 2 Timothy 4. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned to fables. Today, it's never been easier to say, well, that sounds really hard. I know, I'll just go to Google and see if I can find somebody else who'll explain this in a way that it's not what it says it is. And know that's not their words at the time they do it. It's a really easy trap to fall into. Well, this is really hard to understand. It can't mean that. Let's see what some other preacher has to say on it. I'll go to somebody else. And you can Google and you can find anybody who'll teach just about anything that you want to hear on any subject. It's really easy now. This turning away your ears to fables has never been easier than it is right now. And so, here in you have Peter's idea. Peter says, where else are we supposed to go? And then you have Paul telling, well, this is what's going to happen. They're going to turn to fables. They're going to turn to anybody who'll tell them anything as long as it's what they want to hear. And so first I want to look at some of these hard sayings that people are trying so hard to get away from. And then I want to go and look at the root of the problem, and then we'll close. Marriage. Jesus' teachings on marriage they're hard to bear. I don't like what Jesus teaches on marriage, but that's what he teaches, and so I can teach nothing other than what he taught, because those are the words of eternal life. You can't go anywhere else. Teaching somebody something different doesn't change the facts. It doesn't change what Jesus taught. It doesn't change what the apostles taught. And so, as I was putting this together, the idea, the format we're going to follow is I want to look at a couple passages, something that Jesus says, and then I want to go and look at the apostles and see that getting rid of Jesus doesn't fix the problem anyway. Because the apostles taught the very same thing that Jesus taught. And so first we'll go to Mark chapter 10, and I want to look at some things that Jesus taught on marriage. And then we're going to go to the Apostle Paul in Romans. It's funny, it wasn't my intent to go to Romans for all of these, but it just so happens that Paul covers all of these things that Jesus is talking about. So we're going to go to Romans for each of these. So marriage, first here in Mark chapter 10 and verses 2 through 12. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? And they were tempting him. And he answered and said to them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said to you, for the hardness of your hearts, he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. And they two shall be one flesh. So then they are no more two but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And in the house, his disciples asked him again of the same matter. And he said to them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another commits adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she commits adultery. Notice he said you put him away, you did the divorce, and you've married another. Jesus said you're committing adultery. I didn't say it. I didn't make those rules. I didn't condone those rules. That's what Jesus said. He has the words of eternal life. If you don't do this, if you're committing adultery, you're lost. You're doomed. You go to hell. I didn't make that rule. Jesus did. All I can do is teach what he taught. But if I teach something different than what Jesus taught, I haven't changed the facts. All I'm doing is helping to send people to hell. Now, why would I want to do that? What good does that do me? What good does it do to put Jesus under the Old Testament and say, this was an Old Testament rule, and it's not a New Testament rule, so it doesn't apply? What Jesus said here is, you're committing adultery even though you're married. Your piece of paper that says you were divorced and your piece of paper that says you were married to another is worth nothing. In God's sight, who's the only sight that matters, in God's sight, you're committing adultery. Turn also to Luke chapter 16. You'll find a similar statement. Jesus didn't change his mind. He didn't change his position. This is later. This is not a companion passage, as we call it. It's not the same event recorded by somebody else. This is a different time. Just verse 18 here in Luke chapter 16. Whosoever puts away his wife and marries another commits adultery. And whosoever marries her that is put away from her husband commits adultery. Even though you're married, you're committing adultery. He said the same thing. So turn with me to Romans chapter 7. And the point again is, just because you got rid of Jesus and threw Jesus out of the picture doesn't mean that what Jesus taught goes away. Look at the wording here in verses 1 through 3 in Romans chapter 7. Do you not know, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man so long as he lives? For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law of her husband so long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, even though she is married to another man. Notice, Paul said the same thing. If you're married to somebody else, doesn't matter that you're married. Your divorce papers and your marriage papers, they mean nothing. They're worthless. Not worth the paper they're printed on, as the saying goes. Even though you're married, you're committing adultery. Paul said the same thing. Whether you can get rid of Jesus or not, the rule still applies. Pacifism. Now, this is one that we're studying externally, aside from this, because we've had some debate over this. And I'm not dealing with the subject that we've been debating over, so that you understand I'm not trying to undermine any studies that are ongoing. I'm dealing with the retaliation. In our studies, we've been dealing with the extreme. What if somebody is trying to kill you or trying to kill somebody that you love? Do you have the right to fight back? Never minding that. Let's just look at what Jesus is talking about here, is if somebody tries to punch you in the face. So Matthew chapter 5 and verses 38 beginning, or read through 48. And Jesus makes an accusation here. So beginning in verse 38, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you that you do not resist evil. So there's the accusation. He says you're not resisting evil. And in exacting an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, he says you do not resist evil. That's an accusation that he throws out there. But whosoever shall strike you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if a man will sue you at the law and take away your coat, let him have your cloak also. And whosoever shall compel you to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him that asks you, and from him that would borrow of you, do not turn away. You have heard it was said, you have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them that love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what more do you do than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I grew up in the Church of Christ. My parents are members of the Church of Christ. But I was taught, and I grew up believing that the pacifist is a sissy. I grew up being taught, if somebody pushes you, push back. That is not what Jesus said. I'm sorry, but my parents were wrong. That is not what Jesus taught at all. Jesus taught, if somebody pushes you,